Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC back behind the microphone in the Orange County studio, deep behind the orange curtain, safely ensconced, back from the travels, back from LA, back from everything. Here we are. There's some news. Do we need to play the news trumpet? Okay. So Trump picked up an endorsement today. Now, this endorsement business, right, I mean, every time lately I've picked up any newspaper or turned on the computer, of course, there is nothing but endorsement after endorsement for Hillary Clinton. Every newspaper. Yesterday, it was even the illustrious Salt Lake City Tribune. But don't worry, Trump picked up his own endorsement, which came... yes, from the UN. The UN Human Rights Council head, a Jordanian prince, said that the Republican nominee for President Donald Trump would be dangerous from an international point of view. Now, this, of course, has to be an endorsement, right? It has to be. It clearly is. Because, of course, if you're running as an anti-globalist, as a champion of the little man, as somebody who wants to build borders instead of erase them, getting a dig from the United Nations is basically something, that's like a merit badge, isn't it? Can we talk about the hypocrisy here, of course? This, what's his name? Zayed Raad Al Hussein. Jordanian prince. You know, Jordan, let's talk ahead. Trump would be dangerous? And this is a commission on human rights? Doesn't Jordan, last I checked, they've got an autocratic prince. There's no freedom of the press. They torture people. They jail people. No court proceedings on detentions. Police beat people senseless. Black Lives Matter would have a field day with it. Yeah, the UN is great. They were just in the news, too, about... did you hear about Saddam Hussein's torture chamber? So, all the countries... Something people don't realize is that the UN is set up by charter in New York City. But they operate basically as a sovereign entity. So so even countries with whom we don't have diplomatic relations, they have diplomatic missions in New York City, like something like embassies. And these embassies have the same diplomatic protections than they would as they would if we had full diplomatic relations. So countries that we historically have been strained with, they still have their facilities. And one of the craziest things, Saddam Hussein, they had a torture chamber right across the street from Mayor Bloomberg's house. Did you hear about this? Literally, Bloomy is sitting in his mansion smoking, gosh knows what, dreaming up about the next soda ban. And across the street, his next door neighbor is pulling fingernails off of people. This, ladies and gentlemen, is liberalism for you. But anyway, the UN Commission on Human Rights, China's a member, Cuba's a member, Qatar, Russia, even Venezuela, for Pete's sake. And they're telling us that Trump would be dangerous from an international point of view. If I had Trump, I'd take it. And it's an endorsement. And so here I think, let me tell you, here's summing up the race, because we talked a little bit the other day about some of the hypocrisy, the criticisms leveled at Trump. And the race really is... This election, more than any other, is a city versus country election. Now, I realize I'm a rube from Orange County, so you got to bear with me here. But we're city people, okay? That's right. Even if you live in the Valley, you're still a city person. There are people out there who live in Sticksville, and they think differently. Small town, okay, small town values. Now, the beautiful thing about our country is that we have this federalist system We're not just one big country. We're a big country that's divided up into states. And these states are their own individual sovereigns. And within these states, you have counties and municipalities. And so it allows for people to govern themselves differently depending on the place. And one of the, you know, so of course, what's good for people in LA may not be good for people in Peoria, wherever that may be. Now, you remember the movie, what is it? Hunger Games. And Hunger Games, a very popular movie. And you know the people from the city? What was it? From the capital. They were in the capital, right? And, how would you describe them? You remember how costumes, elaborate. I mean, their clothes were ornate. Remember the feasts that they'd have? You know, they'd have all the food imaginable. And then you go out to some of the districts, and it was pretty bleakers, wasn't it? I mean, you go out to the districts and you've got people. If you haven't seen the movie, don't worry about it. You don't need to see the movie. There was a big contrast between the people, the capital people, who were the people who ran the show, and then the people, the regular folks, people who provided goods and services. Now, this all I'm telling you is because there is an enormous valley. It's more than that. They're different planets. The way people think out in the country, in rural America, in small town America, versus how people think in cities. And, you know, it's not a blue state versus red state. If you listen to the pollsters on TV and you listen to the talking heads on Fox News, it's a bunch of city people talking about their city ideas. And it's really not the way it is. You look at an electoral, you look at a map when it's broken down by county. You know, the crazy thing is America is a red country. You know that? If you look from the last election, where people are voting Republican versus Democrat, blue is in cities and in highly in dense areas, in densely populated areas. And red, folks, there's a sea of red out there. In fact, you'd look at a map of America, you'd think, wow, that Democratic Party, you know, they're the party of the 15%. But it's not like that because it's city versus country. And Trump is his candidate. Now, I'm explaining it to you. If you're a city person, you're thinking city, and you're wondering, well, how can this clown get any traction? Well, let me tell you. Because there's people in the country that are tired of being pissed on. Hey, you remember, there's a great story about this in Cracked. I think the guy's name is David Wong. And he gives just really good, relatable examples of liberal hypocrisy. But in it, tucked into that story, is a little analysis of the city versus country thing. And he brings up New Orleans. Right, we all know about Hurricane Katrina. You ask any man on the street or woman. I don't want to be sexist, but you ask anyone, and you say, "Tell me about Hurricane Katrina." Oh shoot! Wow, that just really wiped out New Orleans. A terrible, you know. Da, 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 da. Does anyone talk about Mississippi? What happened in Mississippi? Nobody does. You know, Katrina, how many people did they kill? 200, all over 200 people were dead, $125 billion in damage in Mississippi alone. But nobody talks about it. And the reason is, it's just a bunch of hillbillies, right? It's just a bunch of country people. And the other thing, and I'll tell you, this is probably more damning. The other thing is it doesn't fit into the liberal narrative on victimhood. Because those people in small town America, those people in Mississippi were the people that had they had it organized on a local level. Their politicians knew what they were doing. They took care of their people. Churches stepped in, and the rebuilding effort went far more smoothly. You contrast that with Mayor Ray Nagin. Is he still in jail, by the way? Yep, I think so. He went to jail. Well, anyway, so. You know, Ray Nagin of New Orleans, who was corrupt, you know, horrible politician. I mean, it didn't get rebuilt, but the most important thing was it was a city that was affected and got all the press, and it fit into the narrative of look at heartless Bush, right? Heartless. Look at these people suffering. Now, It's so there are people now let me just suppose for a minute that you are back then, you're in Mississippi and you're hit by, and nobody's taught you, turn on, it doesn't matter if it's CNN or Fox News, you tune on any news network and you're passed over. Nobody's talking about you. Nobody cares. Nothing. What about this? What about, you know, we look at all these riots that are going on. We look at, you know, turn on the TV and there's riots going on. And you, and what are the talking heads telling us? They're telling us, well, now, hey, it's not their fault. You know, I mean, this is oppression. This is racism. They're victims. You know, but what happens when, you know, in middle America, a white kid goes to jail, you know, has a baggie of meth, whatever the story is. And he goes, hey, you know, he gets made fun of. He's like, you're a meth head. Look at, you know, all those heroin overdose videos that are circulating all over the internet. Ha ha ha. Look at those dumb crackers. It's like the last group of people you can make fun of. We always talk about political correctness here. And so I'm telling you, there are people in the country that are, they're not on meth. They're hardworking. And maybe they're a little backwards. You know, I'm joking, but you know, they're religious. You know, maybe they don't have these kind of progressive notions like, you know, men should be in women's bathrooms. And what of it? They're being told how to think, and more importantly, they're being told how to live. And they have had it up to here. And this is, I'm telling you, these are the people that are showing up, and they're not racists, they're not bigots, they're not homophobes, they're not a basket of deplorables. They're regular, hardworking Americans, and they're people that many of us don't go out to the country, do we? We don't interact. And so we look at it from afar. And then we read in the New York Times about all those nasty, horrible people that attend these Trump rallies. We go, God, what a rough side of this country that is. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing. I'm going to get one more analogy to this, you know, because I talked the other day about how this is really an election about politicians versus the people. And when politicians go to Washington, you know, they almost always become part of the establishment. And the, you know, do you, we've talked about the show before, but if you haven't seen it, you know, House of Cards, such a good show. But there's something very subtle in that show that struck me right in the first season. And so you got the protagonist of the show, the congressman, and he's just your average congressman, right? And I think he has some fairly low level position in House leadership at this point, early in the program. And they're in one of the episodes. He goes back to his house in his district. Do you remember this? Remember when he goes back to his house in his district? Now, how would you describe that house? It's pretty basic. He goes back to this really kind of run. Well, it's a very middle class, middle America house. And is it in Texas? I forget. No, it's in the South. It's in Georgia somewhere. And he goes back to his house, and the reason it's so striking, first of all, they never go there. He's a congressman. He's elected from this district. He's a Democrat, by the way, in the show. And he goes back to his district. You know, he has to go there every 2 years to get reelected, but his whole world is in Washington. And where does he live in Washington? Well, you remember if you've seen the show. Beautiful mansion. I'm a townhouse. It's not really a mansion, but I'm telling you, it's a beautiful house. And the joke being, of course, not the joke, the prescient social commentary, political commentary, and it's subtle. I don't think a lot of people pick up on it, is that this is what politicians do. They start in a state somewhere, they live in a small town, they get elected, they go to Washington, They might be country people, but they go to the city and they go native. And pretty soon, that is their life and that is their way of being. And they're going from cocktail party to cocktail party, and they forget. They forget that the hors d'oeuvres that they're eating at that fancy food fest came from a farm somewhere in the middle of America, and they don't even remember. They have no idea how that got there. So it's important, because this is where all the anger is coming from. This is why Americans are pissed off, and this is why half the country likes Donald Trump. Just telling you. All right. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
You've got Hillary Clinton, who's running on this platform of hear no evil, see no evil, or as we call it here, hear no jihad, see no jihad. And we're back, Sam Rogowski, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Did you hear this in the news today that one of the polls has Donald Trump back in the lead, and people are, I mean, the media is just scratching. I mean, they are scratching their heads over this, mystified. They cannot understand it. And it's exactly this, what I'm telling you, that they are doing everything to smear the guy. They don't call him the Teflon Don for nothing. So, well, you know, the other thing I have to tell you, I think too, it's you got to remember, there's something lovable about a bad boy. And it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I always say. You know, Bill Clinton was kind of a bad boy, and people like that about him. You know, before this whole election started, and you know, we were even talking about primaries, I was having this talk. I remember, I don't know, I was at dinner or lunch somewhere, and talking to some friends, and they're saying, yeah, Clinton, you know what, Clinton, he was a good guy. Yeah, he was a little, you know, he was, yeah, but you know what, he was fun. He was, and you know what they, you know what people ultimately liked about him. You remember. And it was all fake, okay? It was a phony act. But, you know, Clinton was the... But it was true. He was a burger. He loved eating fast food. He was a fast food guy. He was, you know, he was just your kind of... He was just an average... He was a clearly a very smart guy, clearly an accomplished guy. But he was very approachable in a way, a very kind of man of the people. And this is something that the media cannot wrap its head around with Trump. Because it's, think about it. Hey, you don't have to like him. Just humor me. He's a guy that is very rich, has a giant plane. Everything is gilded. He's been married 3 times and they've all been attractive. I mean, he's, but then people like him, and a lot of just very regular, you know, lower class people like him. And that's not supposed to be the narrative, right? I mean, if you're a liberal, of course, you know, if you're supposed to come after the rich guy with pitchforks. So what gives? You know, I think it's actually people like the bad guy, protagonist, rich guy who's approachable. Wait, isn't there a whole movie about this? I mean, think about Iron Man, right? Tony Stark. I mean, isn't he kind of a bad boy? You know, he's brash and he's obnoxious and he's not always nice. But I think people look to politicians, to leaders. They look to leaders to be their protectors. And that may not necessarily, again, back to city and country, that may not necessarily be true to you as a city person. But if you're in the country, and you're tired of the city people looking out for other city people, and you see this guy who's eating a bucket of KFC fried chicken on his private jet, you're going, and by the way, he gets up there and says exactly what's on his mind, which, by the way, is what you've been thinking this whole time. You're going, yeah, yeah, this guy is my guy. Yeah, go Don. And the rest of the city people are laying there, you know, sitting there. They just got, finished watching Girls, you know. Oh, that Lena Dunham. So inspiring. Yeah, exactly. And they literally mouths just open, aghast, and don't under, and that's, you know, this is why everyone in the media missed the whole Trump phenomenon. Can you imagine what happens if he wins? Because I think one thing you got to understand, this is with all this tape nonsense and all this, now all these women who are coming forward who claim that he's touched them and kissed them. Apparently he has a thing with kissing. Did you see this? He's got some kind of oral fixation. But hey, you know, all this going on, I think now, well, I'll tell you, it does affect the polling. It does affect the polling. I'll explain it, but not in the way that you would think. Not in the way you think. All right, when we come back, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how polling, let's talk about that. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. We are back. We are back. And we were talking about Tony Stark, right, being an example of a swarmy billionaire, that kind of a billionaire bad boy. Everybody, you know, liked him, of course, Iron Man. The other example I thought of, you think, like, Dirty Harry. Probably one of my favorite movie characters of all time. And why do we like him? It's Clint Eastwood, obviously. Who, by the way, right, big leader of a big opponent of political correctness, outspoken opponent. What did he say? He doesn't say a lot, does he? But he said political correctness is crap. Remember that. Wise words. Well, so Dirty Harry, what was the premise of the character was, is that he was this old school cop in a department that was trying to transform itself already into this kind of into a politically correct world. You remember that? So the department's trying to do everything right and follow protocols and this and that. And it doesn't matter if the bad guy gets away. It doesn't matter. So you've got what matters, number one, above all else, is following protocol. And along comes Dirty Harry, and he's basically F protocol. He pulls out his, you know, 44 Magnum and just like shoots guys in the street. Before I get, you know, BLM out here to burn the studio down, to be clear, in the movies, there were always the bad guys that got hurt. He was always the guy who basically said, screw the red tape. I'm in it to do two things, to hurt bad guys and to protect the good guys. That's very powerful. And this is essentially my point. When you get a guy whose candidacy is about protecting the little guy, and not just, and you're going to go, whoa, Hillary, wait, I thought Hillary was the savior, right? I mean, she's the one who's caring for poor, innocent children and spent her life, you know, looking out for women and minorities and everything. You know, again, if you're from the country, who's looking out for you? I mean, you make up collectively most of America. Altogether, you're important. So who's looking out for you? Well, no one, because you're not a minority, okay? You don't have a disability. You don't have... You're not You haven't been oppressed. You haven't... You're just a white person. That's it. Like, I mean, and that's why you can still make fun of white people, right? I mean, gosh forbid, you know, you say anything about a minority, they'll run you out of town. It's Chris Christie, right? Right here, the whole Bridgegate scandal right now. How many times do they call him a fat you-know-what? That's okay. You can call Christie a fat you-know-what. But, sorry, Trump can't call Rosie O'Donnell the fat you-know-what? Oh, but wait, Sam, it's different. Yeah, I'll tell you it's different. Because that guy is a Republican criticizing a Democrat. And over there, you've got a Democrat criticizing a Republican. So that makes it okay. Oh, it's a double standard. Look at the nasty stuff. I mean, David Letterman, don't even get me started. What a gross piece of work that guy is. Look up his sex scandals. And he's the guy who's, the great liberal defender. But where I'm going with all this, Dirty Harry, he's the guy, that character, he didn't play the game. He didn't play the politics game. And so all these people, and there's a reason why that was such an iconic movie, because everyone across party lines saw that and said, you know, justice was done. And also, you know, it was liberating, right, to see somebody fight back against the machine. Now, that's what this is. The political class finally has a worthy opponent, and he's articulate enough, forceful enough, to defend his positions. And they don't like it. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about what a Hillary presidency would look like. We've looked at some stuff here, and it's not pretty. And I'll also I'm going to talk about the polls, because that's important. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
I left the bubble today. I did. I was up in LA. I hit so many potholes in one area. I thought I was going to run into one of these guys here, Ahmad Khan Rahami or somebody, because I felt like I was in Afghanistan. It was unbelievable. All right. Don't worry, everybody's okay. Everybody is okay. Well, a gorilla escaped from the London Zoo. It happened today, okay? A gorilla escaped its enclosure at the London Zoo. It broke out. They had to send armed units. But don't worry, they didn't use lethal force. They were able to neutralize the gorilla with a giant tranquilizer dart. This is just in one of the latest tribute stories to Harambe. May he rest in peace. Now, I'll tell you what. If you are walking along, maybe perhaps having a coffee, if you're one of those city people, you know, you're having one of your little macchiatos, and you're sitting there, and you're mocking all the little people that live in the country, and along comes a giant gorilla on the loose. It could happen. You could get a monkey bite. You never know. Can happen to you anywhere. Even in London. What do you do if you get bitten by a monkey or a gorilla, for that matter? Well, I'll tell you, he's gotten a lot of strange calls, so you could just call Sweet James. Because I tell you what, somebody has to pay for that. Guaranteed. What if the monkey's driving a car? I mean, that's another thing. Probably not very safely. So don't talk to the zoo. Don't take their apologies or anything. You've got to just call Sweet James. He's the attorney we trust, and he will take care of you and make sure that you are made whole. What do? You give him a call. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And these polls, there's some polls right now. There, one, I think Rasmussen shows Trump back in the lead. and the left is just, I mean, they're having the vapors. Here I am bumping into the microphone. I'm trying to, if you could see me right now, you'd see me waving my arms because No, it's not a Harambe impression. I'm just telling you. They're having the vapors. Let me tell you why, how the latest drama surrounding Trump with the tape and now with these accusers and everything, let me tell you how that is going to affect polling. And I think the result's pretty clear to me. It's going to suppress the pro-Trump registration of support. And again, I think it's now, with all this stuff coming out, don't you feel like it's even, you're even less popular? Let's say you're a Trump supporter. And those of you out there, you Trumpsters, you know who you are. Isn't it even more uncomfortable now to admit that you like Trump? It is, right? Because even Michelle Obama said that it shook her to her core. So I'm just telling you, I think right now, there's two things at play with polling. One is how people really feel and how that will translate into their voting come November. But the second part of it is, how comfortable are people in expressing their position? Because the best example of that certainly is Brexit, most recent one, you know, where it was very unpopular for people to publicly admit that they were all about divorcing themselves as Britons from the European Union. But it was not a popular thing to say. If you were in the UK during this time, you knew that it was not, especially if you worked in the city somewhere, it was not cool. So people would call, pollsters would call and say, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What are you going to do? People say, oh, no, I don't think we should, you know, and they would, okay, that was it. I don't think anybody here is like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, he grabbed her where? Yeah, I'm still voting for him. I'm all about that. No, I mean, I really don't. I think that's registering. So, and I've said it before here, it's just a public service to Hillary. Any advantage that she has in the polls right now will potentially hurt her because it will suppress the amount of people that will go out and vote for her, right? She's never had the same excitement quotient that Trump has. Trump voters, they're loyal. They're going to go out there. They're ready to change. They're ready to strike the old world order. But the Hillary people, they're going to say, oh, she's up 20 points in the polls. I don't need to go. She's got it in the bag. And then, well, let's talk about what the Hillary presidency would look like if that doesn't happen. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, back after this. Still don't know what I was waiting for.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. All right. Let's assume Hillary wins this thing. What then? Well, lots of stuff, right? I always believe you should trust when somebody tells you that they're going to do something, they're going to do it. Not always a given with politicians, but let's just go through some of the things that will happen. First of all, lots and lots of free stuff. Free tuition, for one. Everything, right? Is free? There's gonna be family leave. There a lot of free stuff. Better health care. It's gonna cost less money. So what does that mean? Taxes, guaranteed. Taxes are going to go up under Hillary Clinton, and they're not just gonna go up for the wealthy. You know, those rich, those evil rich bastards. You know, the taxes and fees and all that, it's going to go up under Hillary Clinton, guaranteed. Now, she also wants to raise the federal minimum wage, and we've talked about that here. We'll talk about that some more again, but it's just, that's going to be catastrophic because we know that what's good in Mobile, Alabama is not necessarily good in California, Los Angeles, right? You've got different standards of living. And so you just can't raise that. It's not something that should be regulated from Washington. A religious freedom Guarantee you, if you're a religious person, I'm not, but if you are going to get screwed under Hillary Clinton. Did you hear the latest thing? You know that the guy, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, the guy's name is Martin Castro. Maybe his, maybe pronounced Martin Castro. And he just wrote in a report that the phrases religious liberty and religious freedom, you know, things that you might believe in, right? Religious freedom, religious liberty. They're actually code words. Did you know this? They're code words because they're code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, and Christian supremacy, or any form of it is intolerance. Hey, do any of those words sound familiar to you? Well, if they do, you're not alone. Because Martin Castro is, well, yeah, he's on this commission. He's appointed by Obama, but he is one of Hillary Clinton's speechwriters. And as it turns out, he's the guy that authored that deplorable speech. So this is the kind of person that is going to be in a Hillary Clinton White House, this kind of nonsense, and it's going to affect you. Elections matter. All right, gotta go. Not here tomorrow. Go Kings, go! And we'll be back here on Monday. See you then. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Have a great weekend.